Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food apocalypse GMOs when we come back. You know, during the 1970s, an obscure black college professor at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, while working on a grant developed by the Rockefeller Institute, developed a unique marketing plan for agricultural products. His plan was aimed at poor, rural, black landowners in the South who owned small acreages. The goal was to keep these landowners on the land by producing produce for sale to the public at retail and to generate an income that would support a family. The Whatley program was so successful that it became known as the Whatley program, how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. And that obscure black professor was Professor Booker T. Whatley. Now, there are more than 4,000 of these small family enterprises operating here in the United States. And the law school has taken the Whatley program and added the 15 agricultural laws of the Bible and the 17 financial laws from the scriptures so that you can practice all of these laws of the United States, all the laws of your state, and the scripture, the Bible, to make a good living for you and for your family all at the same time. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And our $100,000 on 25-acre class is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about food apocalypse GMOs. It's written by Greg Ciola. That's G-R-E-G-C-I-O-L-A. It's an update on the genetic modification of our foods. Now, remember when I started last time, I cited Matthew 24:22. Just a short statement that says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And then I went over to Deuteronomy 28:53, and I cited to you five scriptures here, five statements, five verses concerning famine and cannibalism. It's got to be the most graphic, detailed, horrendous story or description of cannibalism in all of Anglo-Saxon literature. It's in your Bible. Yep, it's in your Bible. Deuteronomy 28:53-58. If that doesn't grow some hair on your chest, I don't know what will. Now, there's a siege coming. You can see it every day as you read your newspapers and listen to Katie Couric. We Americans are importing ever-increasing amounts of our food from overseas. More than half of the food that we eat here in the United States is coming from outside of our borders. That's scary. Then, in addition to that, we're running about an $800 billion a year deficit with the suppliers of that food. And one of these days, when we default and we're no longer able to pay, they won't ship it in. And that's going to take half the food off your shelves. And then what food we are producing here in the United States is this genetically modified organism that most of the countries in Europe and many countries around the world, such as China and Japan, won't touch with a 10-foot pole. The Chinese are growing them for the American market, but they're not eating them, and they're not feeding them to their people. So I thought I would give you a report and tell you that there's some bad news up ahead. And if you're eating these GMOs, you need health insurance. And last time, we were taking a look at what crops are currently grown with these GMOs. Now, the four big ones are corn, cotton, soybeans, and canola. And right away, you're going to say, well, gosh, there's nothing I can do about it, so I guess I better just go ahead and eat them. Well, that's fine. If you're going to go ahead and eat them, make sure that you're insured. Make sure you've got health insurance, because you're going to get sick. We don't know how bad these illnesses and diseases are going to be. And they're starting to show up already. And then they cost money. And they're going to get worse. And they'll ultimately kill you. But in the process, they're going to cost you a lot of money. So eating genetically modified organisms is an expensive way to die. And that's the bottom line. I don't want to die, and I don't want to spend a lot of money in the process, so I'm going to do something different. Now, last time we took corn as an example, and it may come as a surprise to you that there are literally thousands upon thousands of products on the market today that use corn, corn byproducts, in their formulations. And these include corn syrup, corn starch, corn flour, corn meal, corn oil, or maltodextrin from corn. Just check out the labels, and I think you'll be shocked. Now, how many people, for instance, drink soda on a daily basis? Are you aware that almost all the soda, other than diet soda, is loaded with fructose corn syrup? Many of the fruit drinks and packaged beverages also contain high amounts of high fructose corn syrup. The fact of the matter is that you're now most likely consuming engineered genes if you're using any product containing corn or corn byproducts. Now, has anybody warned you or given you a choice? And so, that's where we left off last time, and I said, let's think about it pragmatically. You know, I'm just like you. I eat tortillas. I eat corn meal or corn bread and beans. And now, where do I get this stuff? Well, the other day, I just ordered 5 tons of whole corn, organic whole corn, from an Amish grower here in Missouri. Now, I also buy stuff, you know, out of the store, not corn chips. And so when I buy corn chips, I make sure that they're organic and that I get them from a health food store. Or if I buy them from the supermarket, I make sure they say organic. And then I'm looking for the label on them. I'm not just buying stuff, you know, to be buying it. Now, all the soda pops and all of the fruit drinks that you get, see, Coca-Cola makes more than just Coke and Diet Coke. You know, they also have orange juice and water. I mean, hell, they sell water, for crying out loud. So keep in mind that if it's sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, it's GMO. And so avoid that. And then write a letter to Coca-Cola and tell them that I like Coke, and I'd probably buy more of it, but let me know when you're going to stop using GMO in it. And as soon as you stop using, I'll go back to using it. Now, meanwhile, if you want to buy soda pops, you can go into the health food stores, and they've got a wide variety. It's not Coca-Cola, but they've got Coke. It's not 7-Up, but they've got the same stuff. And the health food stores carry this product, or these brand products like Health Valley soda pops, because not because they're good for you or they're filled with vitamins and minerals, but because they don't contain GMOs and because they don't contain the bad elements. And so that's the step forward. We want to eat bad food, but we don't want the bad elements in the bad food. Now, because of their reputed health benefits, soybeans are now one of the most popular foods in America. And ever since the FDA allowed certain health claims to be made for soybeans, there's been an explosion in soybean sales. They're appearing in everything from candy bars to protein powders, and it seems that Americans just can't get enough of them. So take a look at the vegetarian industry, for example. Everywhere you go, whether it's to the health food store or to the grocery store, soy is being touted as the next best thing to the fruit on the tree of life. There's soy milk, tofu, soy burgers, and plenty of meat substitutes. So while many people seek out these soy alternatives for health reasons, they're totally unaware that most of these products contain genetically modified soybeans. So isn't that ironic? Once again, has anyone ever given you a choice in the matter? So unless these soy products specifically state organic or no GMOs on their packaging, they most likely contain genetically modified soybeans. And that goes for the products being sold in the health food stores as well. So if you go into a health food store and it doesn't say organic or no GMOs on it, don't buy it. That's how simple that is. And point that out to the owner in the health food store who may... He probably knows, but it takes effort. So let's suppose that you're selling Hershey candy bars. And these Hershey candy bars contain soy lecithin. Okay, well, the soy lecithin over there is a product, you know, it's a product that comes out of soybeans, and it's used in all kinds of other products. And unless it's marked, unless the company making the candy bar is concerned about the GMO problem, then they're going to get their lecithin from some source, and they're going to get it from the cheapest source, and the more expensive source is going to be from the non-GMO source, because there's not too many farmers out there that grow non-GMO soybeans. It's just down to around 10 to 20%. And so we now have to go out of our way to look for the kinds of products that we want. So tell the guy in the health food store, hey, listen, this product over here has got GMO soy lecithin in it. Why don't you get it out of here? If you want me to come back into your store, get this garbage out. The reason I come to the health food store and pay you a premium is so that I don't get this. I can buy this same crap down at Walmart for half the price. That's what I like to tell people. You know, listen, you know, if you want my business, I can buy this crap down at Walmart for half the price. I don't need to come in here and pay double to buy the same stuff I can get at Walmart. So either clean up your act or I'll go somewhere else. And you'll find that the health food store guy, he'll be right on top of that. Now, other common ingredients found in many food products is cottonseed oil. Now, that's a kicker right there. And that's because you know, you don't think too much about eating cotton. You know, you think about wearing it. But there's cottonseed meal, which is typically fed to livestock. And then there's the cottonseed oil. So they take the cottonseed oil out, and they make the meal out of the cotton seeds that they have taken out of the cotton, and they make cattle feed out of that, but they're going to put the oil now into a great number of products that you'll see. So when you see high fructose corn syrup or cottonseed oil or canola oil or rapeseed oil, don't buy the product. So you're really looking for those four oils. It's canola is also known as rapeseed oil. And then the corn oil. The canola, corn, rapeseed, and a cottonseed oil. So watch out for those. You'll find it in food products like chips, crackers, popcorn, cake mixes, snack foods, and a host of other items. For instance, you check out the aisle in your grocery store that sells packaged nuts. And look at how many different varieties are sold. Now examine the labels carefully, and you're going to find most of them contain cottonseed oil. Sometimes they'll say it can be made with cottonseed, canola, corn, or some other oils in there. And when you see those kinds of products, you know, just avoid them, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, somebody said, I think it was in this book, the guy said, if you're going to eat food without GMOs, it's probably going to cost you 50% more for your food. And he said, many of you people can't afford it. And I'm sitting here telling you, oh, no, that's not true at all. I think Mr. Scioli here made a mistake. There isn't anybody listening to my voice that cannot afford to eat and to eat well and to pay 50% more for the food that he eats if he doesn't buy health insurance. Now, if you're buying health insurance, it means that you expect to get sick. And that's the only logical conclusion that we can come to. Now, in the Bible, God told you in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 that he would take sickness away from you if you would obey him and keep his commandments. So in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, he gives you some health food tips. He says, don't eat these kinds of meats and eat these kinds of meats. He tells you what meat is clean and unclean, what meat's good for you and what isn't. He tells you don't eat fat and don't eat blood. So don't eat hamburger. It's 30% fat. Don't eat hot dogs. It's 40% fat. Don't eat lunch meat like bologna. It's 40% fat. And concentrate on eating those meats that are lean. All right, now, if you'll follow those health food laws in the scripture, you won't get sick. Now, I'm an old man and I don't get sick. I don't have health insurance and I'm not looking for any and I'm not going to buy any. Now, normal people pay about $10,000 to $15,000 a year for health insurance, and there isn't anybody out there that's buying health insurance right now. Terminate the health insurance and then take the money and go buy good food. Now, if you do that, you won't need the health insurance. In fact, it won't take $10,000 or $15,000 to change your diet. In fact, just to give you a couple illustrations, I probably spend less on food than most of you people listening to me right now. And that's because I eat whole foods, and many of them I grow myself. Or I buy them in bulk. And the other day, I told you I just bought 5 tons of corn. I got paid 12 cents a pound for it. Let's see if I'm right. 60 pounds to a bushel times 0.12. Not even 12 cents. I think I'm paying $6 a bushel. No, $6 a bushel would be 10 cents a pound. 10 cents a pound for that corn. Now I grind it, and then I use that corn meal for what I want. You know, it could be for grits, polenta, corn bread, whatever I want. So I just want to point that out. Now, if you want to buy this stuff ready-made at the store, when you're buying corn chips at the store, you know, you're paying... I can't tell you for corn chips, but I can tell you for wheat thins. I saw wheat thins the other day for $1.49, 1 pound. Now, wheat's just hit an all-time high at $7.50 a bushel. And a bushel is 60 pounds, so let's take 750 cents and divide that by 60 pounds, and it's 12.5 cents a pound. Eh? Is that correct? No, it's 1.25. So it's about a penny a pound. If it was $6 a bushel, it would be 600 cents and 60 pounds. Am I right? 60 into 6, and that'd be 10. I guess that is right. 12.5 cents a pound. Okay. Yeah, 12.5 cents. My machine here didn't put the decimal point in for me. 12.5 cents a pound. Now, let's take that 12.5 cents out of $1.49. So let me take 12 and then just divide that by $1.50. That's about 8%. So a box of wheat thins is about 8% wheat. 8% of the cost of it is in the cost of the wheat. The other 92% is in baking it and packaging it and trucking it and shipping it and profits for Nabisco and all the companies that go in between. So tuck that one away in your heart. And instead of buying wheat thins, why don't you make your own? I know most of you people over there have been to public school and you can't cook. And, you know, if you can't open the can or heat it in the microwave, you're probably dead in the water. But, you know, that's the advantage to learning how to cook and how to sew and how to be a housewife, you know. It's because my wife is a very valuable asset in our family over here because she can cook. And she makes us a lot of money doing that. But I just thought I'd throw that out for your consideration. Now, same thing with corn chips, potato chips, and all the rest of it. There's just this god-awful markup, you know, that goes into it. Now, we make potato chips here at home. I don't pretend to say that they're as good as what you buy out of the store. I don't know if they're that good or not. But we got a slicer here, and you can slice them. You can cook them right here on your stove and salt them up, and you can make your own potato chips. I don't know. Potatoes, you know, where they cost you 10 cents a pound, maybe, something like that. And you buy a pound of potato chips in a bag, it costs you about $3. No, it's $3 a pound versus 10 cents a pound. I mean, you know, it's your choice in life, so, you know, get after it. Now, another common ingredient found in many food products, remember, is cottonseed oil. You're going to find it in products like chips and crackers and popcorn and the rest of it. You want to avoid that, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. The last big genetically modified crop is canola, called rapeseed oil. Canola actually derives its name from Canadian oil. It's one of the cheapest oils to produce, and it's touted as high quality, beneficial oil, although research exists that shows rapeseed to be a human toxin. Causes cancer is what it is. Regardless of that, canola oil is found in thousands of food products across the board. It's especially prevalent in many products in the health food industry. Now that a large percentage of the rapeseeds have been genetically modified, it's virtually impossible to escape the problem. And you're ingesting manipulated genes with little or no choice in the matter. So does this start to get you mad? Because it should. Dr. Barry Commoner, in a Harper's Magazine article titled Unraveling the DNA Myth, the Spurious Foundation of Genetic Engineering, made the following statement. He said, "The genetically engineered crops now being grown represent a massive, uncontrolled experiment whose outcome is inherently unpredictable." It's inherently unpredictable. We don't know how this is going to come out. It'll come out about like thalidomide. You know, science has in the past come up with some real neat killers. Pharmaceutical companies come up with real neat killers, you know, every so often. So I just thought I'd throw that out for your consideration, and you can take it for what it's worth. So let me remind you that this book is called Food Apocalypse, spelled A-P-O-C-A-L-Y-P-S-E, Food Apocalypse, taken from the Book of Revelation, you know, the apocalypse. Food apocalypse, GMOs, genetically modified organisms, they're playing God and shoving it down your throat. It's a biblical response to genetic engineering by Greg Ciola, C-I-O-L-A. And if you get on the computer, you can go to bravenewbookstore.com. Austin, Texas. bravenewbookstore.com, and they'll ship you a copy. It's $8.95 is the price. You ought to call them first, 512-480-2503. That's in Austin, Texas. 512-480-2503. They sent me a shipment of books here the other day. I got 3, 5, 8, 10, 12, 14, 18, 20, and this one's 21. They sent me 21 books they wanted me to review. Some of them are pretty exciting books, you know, like in Health and Nutrition Secrets, Rare Earths, Remember, by Joel Wallach, Hell's Kitchen by Joel Wallach. A number of these books deal with health, some of them deal with politics, some of them deal with economics and so on. This one here, this GMO thing over here, now, you know, there's millions of people in the world that don't consume GMOs, so don't sit there and say, well, I don't have any choice in the matter. These clowns make it more difficult. You know, it'd be easier if we could walk into the store, pick up a Hershey bar without any soy lecithin in it. But then, okay, so if Hershey wants to use their lecithin out of soybeans that are not clean, well, then I won't eat Hershey bars anymore. That's just that simple. That doesn't mean I can't eat chocolate. They get chocolate in the health food stores, you know. There's clean chocolate out there. You just have to go somewhere else and buy a better product. Because if you're going to eat this GMO over here, then you're going to need health insurance, and you ought to tuck that one away in your heart. Now, what are some specific examples of this technology in use? Well, one of the first genetically modified crops was Calgene's Flavor Saver tomato. Now, if I remember right, that Flavor Saver was uneconomical and it's now off the market. Now, the GMO movement, the anti-GMO movement, has made some big inroads into it. They've taken potatoes off the market now and these tomatoes. So I think your potatoes are safe, again, and tomatoes. Now, don't let down your guard, because these clowns have a profit motive involved. And so when you and I go out here and we raise hell and we defeat these guys, you know, don't think that that's the end of it, because that's just the beginning. They're going to be back. They'll be back with a different brand name. They'll be back with a different program. And the reason that they're lobbying in Congress so heavily against labeling is because they don't want you to know. See, you know, a businessman isn't stupid. He wants to sell you some crap. And in the process, he doesn't want to tell you in the ingredients list, you know, as you're reading down here, you know, that we've got soy lecithin, BHT, and other crap in our product. So they'd like to kind of keep that secret from you. So it makes all the sense in the world that the major food manufacturers like General Mills and Kraft, you know, they don't want to tell you what's in the box. And so when I find out what they've got in the box, then I don't buy from them. And then if you just want to rub a little salt in the wound, you send them an email and you tell them when you get rid of this stuff, well, then I might come back and buy your product again. But until then, I'm buying somebody else's. And it's always good if you say, I'm buying my cereal now from the whole food store or from Wild Oats. I'm buying my cornflakes at Wild Oats now instead of buying them from General Mills or from Kellogg's. Just kind of rub a little salt in the wound, you know, because then they can extrapolate that out to 50 people just like you're doing the same thing. 50 people is looking just like you. Now, this flavor saver tomato over here, when the tomatoes ripen, a gene is triggered to produce a chemical that makes the fruit soften and eventually rot. Well, geneticists discovered a way to identify the gene that causes this, and through genetic manipulation, they now turned it off. So, in effect, this genetically altered tomato softens or rots more slowly. That enables it to stay on the vine longer, and then it'll last longer on the shelf. So not surprisingly, when scientists tried to feed rodents these tomatoes, the animals wouldn't eat them. So states Roger Salquist, one of the scientists involved in creating the flavor saver. Even though the Calgene tomato eventually won FDA approval, it failed on the market because it was too expensive. Now, cattle will do the same thing. If you feed corn, like BHT corn, to cows in one trough, and then you put open pollinated corn in another, they'll go over and eat the open pollinated corn, and they won't eat the BHT. Or if they eat it, they'll eat it last. And in the case of rodents, you know, there's something built into animals, and they know good food and bad. Humans don't have that. Humans just eat anything that tastes good. I mean, you can take any kind of crap, put salt and sugar on it, and some human will buy it and eat it. Although there are some products that animals eat that kills them. I was up at Black Canyon here some years back, and they got signs up in the park. It says, "Please do not feed human food to the animals, as it's not good for them." Well, if it's not good for chipmunks and squirrels, what in the hell makes you think it's good for you? Now, that ought to be your first clue right there, you know, unless you're brain dead or you're suffering from low IQ. Now, there's another amazing flounder tomato. There's an excellent example. Here's an excellent example of a new weird science at its worst. The Arctic flounder is designed to withstand freezing Arctic waters. Geneticists have managed to take the anti-freezing gene of the flounder and splice it into the tomato to protect it from frost and freeze damage. Although the flounder tomato never made it to market, it's very disturbing to see just how far this technology is going and will go. Now remember, Jesus made an observation. He says, you know, if I don't step in here and protect you fools from yourself, no flesh will be saved alive on planet Earth. Now, I've always thought more in terms of nuclear bomb war, but you know, I can see where this food supply thing over here is going to get critical, and especially when we take a look at Deuteronomy 28:53-58. So, tuck those away in your heart there, and I got to give you a reminder here. Let me flip back here to the index so I can see where we're going. Widespread DNA manipulation on page 25. Let me go over to page 25. There we go. And then we'll talk about this BHT that they're putting into cows. See, when I go to the grocery store, if I see that it's got anything that contains dairy products, I don't buy it. Dairy. They have poisoned all of the dairy foods in America. And I can't speak for the rest of you people in the world, but here in America, if it's dairy, you know, milk, butter, sour cream, you know, whatever it is that you're buying out of the dairy case, cheese, you know, you ought to avoid that like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Hey, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and we are open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and we recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements are recommendations that we give. Don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse or recommend will reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station, so please don't blame them. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. If you'd like a copy of the book, Food Apocalypse GMOs by Greg Sciola, why don't you go to bravenewbookstore.com on the web, bravenewbookstore.com, or call Brave New Bookstore at 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. If you don't have a telephone and you don't have a computer, you can write to them at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Once more, that's 1904 Guadalupe, G-U-A-D-A-L-U-P-E, Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. The dairy cattle here in America have been totally screwed up, polluted. So even though milk and dairy products are not field crops, they're regulated by the USDA as agricultural commodities, and they're a major source of food for millions of people. Since milk and dairy are also impacted by genetic engineering, I felt this topic needed to be covered in this book as well. What's taking place among America's dairy cows is equally as upsetting and prevalent as what's going on with many of our crops. Approximately 30% of the milk in America is currently derived from cows that have been injected with a genetically engineered hormone called bovine somatropin, S-O-M-A-T-O-T-R-O-P-I-N. So how did this madness ever get started? Well, in 1926, scientists discovered a powerful substance in mammals that was necessary for several physiological functions. So at the time, they named this chemical growth hormone, since it was directly responsible for growth in the body. and it was discovered that growth hormone could help reduce fat, increase protein synthesis, and influence overall body health. Soon after the discovery, the hormone came to be known as somatotropin, and this somatotropin is a relatively small protein produced by the pituitary gland that differs slightly in structure and size between species. In cattle, it's known as bovine somatotropin, or BST for short. Thank God you've got to the acronym here, BST. So don't ask me about the somatotropin anymore. It's BST. So by the 1930s, the scientists began experimenting with this BST by injecting it into lactating cows, and they discovered that it significantly increased milk production. But until recently, however, the only source of BST was from the pituitary glands of slaughtered cattle, so this limited the quantities of the natural growth hormone available, making it very expensive. And that's why it's never been used in cattle, at least in the 20s and 30s and 40s. But with recent advances in biotechnology, geneticists were able to develop a method to now produce unlimited quantities of this BST. They were able to do this by isolating and extracting the gene characteristics of the pituitary gland and then control the code, the production, and the production of this BST. So then by multiplying it millions of times over in a bacterium, they created a genetically modified version of BST. This meant that they no longer needed to be dependent upon dead cattle as a source and could now offer this hormone to dairy farmers worldwide. Now, the terms BGH, RBGH, BST, and RBST are used interchangeably, so don't be confused by their meanings. BGH simply stands for bovine growth hormone, and this is used in the general sense. As I just stated, the name given to this hormone was somatotropin, and BST means bovine somatotropin. The small r is called genetic engineering terminology for recombinant. So the R means recombinant. Recombinant simply means a new combination of genetic material. Recombinant DNA is that which has been genetically manipulated using any of various techniques for inserting the gene codes from the DNA of one organism directly into the chromosomes of another so as to change its genetic makeup, as I've already described. In addition to milk production, recombinant DNA technology is used in basic research to produce vaccines, hormones, pharmaceutical drugs, and other medical applications. This recombinant process used to make BST came about as a result of a joint research program coordinated by Genentech and Monsanto. Monsanto later obtained the rights to fully develop and commercialize Genentech's recombinant BST process. This enabled them to produce vast quantities of the hormone, making it readily available to America's dairy farmers. The registered trade name Monsanto uses for recombinant bovine somatotropin is Posilac. Posilac hit the market in February of 1994, and Monsanto claims that it has become the largest selling dairy animal health product in the United States. Approximately 30% of America's dairy cattle are currently being injected with this engineered hormone on a regular basis. Since the introduction of Prosilac, there has been a flood of controversy and negative press over its use. In fact, it has been banned in almost every country in the world except for the United States and a few other countries that have bought into the charade. RBST increases milk production by releasing a chemical called IGF-1. IGF stands for insulin-like growth factor, and what's interesting is that university studies are beginning to link abnormal levels of IGF-1 to prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, hypertension, diabetes, and numerous other health problems, with a significant percentage of America's dairy and milk now being produced from cows that have been given this genetically engineered version of BST, it's hard to believe that the powerful growth hormone effects of this drug are not also being passed along to consumers. The fact that there have been no long-term studies done regarding the safety of milk produced with this hormone is very shocking. The FDA claims that it's harmless, but then again, this is the same agency that allows pharmaceutical companies to do their own research for their drug trials, and also feels it's not in our best interest to know what food products contain genetically modified organisms. Wouldn't you like to know if your milk or related dairy product were produced with a genetically engineered hormone? I know I sure would. Now, some of you reading this may not be aware of how many foods on the market require milk. Milk is used to make hundreds of items, such as butter, yogurt, cheese, cream cheese, buttermilk, ice cream, cottage cheese, whey, casein, calcium, caseinate, and sour cream, just to name a few. And almost all milk and dairy products now being sold, unless they specifically state organic on their packaging, more than likely came from cows treated with RBST. So let me pause right here and tell you a little story. We got a book here called The Milk Book. Write that down, The Milk Book. And The Milk of Human Kindness. Here's another one here. The Milk of Human Kindness is not pasteurized. Go to Brave New Bookstore and tell them you want their milk books. There's two or three of them out there. And they'll tell you the milk story. A little better yet, they'll tell you where to get milk that's clean. Now, you can buy clean milk. You'll pay more for it, and that's because it costs more to produce. But by the same token, you can get rid of your health insurance, and now you can drink good food, or you can buy health insurance. It's a choice that you make. See, you can eat crappy food for which you're going to get sick and you'll need health insurance, which costs you $10,000 to $15,000 a year. That's model number one. Or model number two, you can kick the insurance habit, spend the $10,000 or $15,000 on good food and not get sick. You know, the choice that you have to make in life. Most people prefer the health insurance sickness model. I'm not exactly sure why they prefer that model, but it's clearly the number one seller here in America. Good health without insurance is a poor second at best. I subscribe to that second model, you know, the poor model at best, because I never felt good being sick. And I'm very sensitive to pain, and I don't like it. So I just thought I'd share that with you. Now, remember, this is Brave New Bookstore. BraveNewBookstore.com. And their number is 512-480-2503. You can call them on telephone. It's 512-480-2503. Tell them, hey, you got anything on milk? I'd like to buy milk here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I need to learn how I can buy clean milk. And the answer is, yeah, you can. Can't get it at health food stores. You'll have to buy it on the black markets, what you got to do. You got to buy milk, raw milk in this country, like you buy, cocaine, marijuana, heroin. And they've outlawed it and made it criminal, see, in most places. And so you've got to be, in the underground market, to do that. I thought I'd point this out to show you how good the free marketplace works. The people are down on the free marketplace, but to demonstrate how well it works. Here in America, the biggest crop grown is marijuana at $37 billion a year. Marijuana is a bigger crop than the next four crops in this order: corn, wheat, soybeans, and cotton, which total $35 billion a year combined. Marijuana is $37 billion, and there's no price supports. There's no Department of Agriculture encouraging the production of marijuana and explaining to marijuana growers, how to maximize their crops and how to put some of their land into the soil bank and how to fertilize it and get more production like they do with the farmers growing wheat, corn, soybeans, and cotton. Now, the good side of this is that for the American taxpayers who pay billions of dollars in subsidies to farmers and the bureaucrats to grow wheat, corn, beans, soybeans, and cotton, the production of marijuana is totally free enterprise, totally black market, and costs you no tax dollars whatsoever. Well, save for the tax dollars that they spend trying to eradicate the growing of marijuana because it's such a successful crop and because it's in such great demand. I just thought I'd point that out. It's the free marketplace in action. You just can't beat the free marketplace. The free marketplace will produce gasoline at $20 a gallon in Kosovo. I mean, you know, right in the middle of a war with artillery rounds raining down in the city, the free marketplace can produce gasoline. Oh, God bless free market. But it gets even worse. You know, besides the fact that most cheeses come from milk produced with genetically engineered bovine RBST, the enzyme used to curdle the milk and make cheese has also been genetically engineered. So for centuries, cheesemakers predominantly used rennet to make cheese. Rennet is the lining membrane of the fourth stomach of veal calves. Rennet contains the enzymes rennin and chymosin, which is what is normally used to curdle milk, as was the case with bovine somatotropin. However, cheesemakers also had to rely on slaughtered calves for the enzyme. Now, thanks to advances in genetic engineering, the chymosin gene has been replicated in a bacterium very similar to the process just described with BST. So an estimated 60% of all hard cheeses are now made using genetically engineered chymosin, and it appears that these numbers will continue to climb in the future. Now, that's probably true, but you know, there's cheesemakers out there that know this, and they make clean cheese without GMOs, and they still make it with rennin. Now, Kraft does. To me, you can just bet that the big manufacturers out here, you know, they're going to use the cheapest stuff possible to maximize their bottom line. But the people that are selling their cheeses to the health food stores and Wild Oats and Whole Foods, you know, they get a premium. And we pay them a premium to produce clean, wholesome food for us. And that's why I say it's worth the money, in my view, to have good health and to buy the better foods. Now, you need to keep in mind that just as we were going to press with this updated second edition, Monsanto has mysteriously halted production at its plants in Austria and Augusta, Georgia, supposedly due to minor contamination problems. Dairy foe Robert Cohen is taking credit for getting this growth hormone off the market. After 10 years of whistleblowing, it appears his efforts have forced the FDA to take action against this hormone. According to Organic Consumers Association, rumors within the industry, however, are that Monsanto is in a panic about field reports of major damage to bovine health, including bone cancer, prompting the company to phase out production of the controversial hormone so as to avoid legal liability. Despite this news, we are hearing reports that an updated version of this hormone will be back on the market by the end of 2004. To find out more about this ongoing controversy, visit Cohen's website at www.notmilk.com. So that's Cohen's website at www.notmilk.com. Now, a little more to that part of the story. They get this growth hormone from more than one producer. It isn't just Monsanto, but Monsanto, I think, is getting out of the business because of the economic liability. See, this growth hormone kills cattle, and they're afraid the dairy farmers are going to start suing them. Now, the experimentation was done right out of the laboratory. I mean, once they found out this stuff worked, they stuck it right out here and started selling it to the dairies. And the dairymen, you know, they're greedy. They want to make more money, so they want cows that produce more milk. And so they're not concerned about the health of their cattle. They're not concerned about the health of the people they're selling it to. They're just concerned about profit. Now, when they're getting sued by sick people, or when their cows start dying prematurely, they get concerned. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, my dairy cows, I raised family milk cows here. And my cows last for 20 years. It's common for our cows to live for 20 years or more. I had one old cow here, died at age 23. She wouldn't have died, but she got downhill, got her legs uphill, and she smothered to death. I had two of them do that on me. Happens once in a while. Not often, but once in a while. Now, dairy cows, commercial dairy cows, if they live to be 6 years old, you know, four lactations, five lactations, you know, that's an old cow. And I've got old cows over here, you know, I don't ever call the vet for calving and so on. In fact, I've only called the vet, I think, three times. He came out and all three cows died anyway, so I don't call him anymore. It's no need to. He charges a lot and cows die anyway, so there's no point in it. But anyway, just for your information, when these cows that are being fed this growth hormone only represents 30% of the milk. Don't believe for a minute that the milk that you're consuming is clean, because it's all dirty. Every gallon of it. There isn't a clean gallon in Walmart. Not a clean gallon in Safeway or Kroger. They've all got this bovine growth hormone. Here's the way it works. So all these grade A dairies have what they call a bulk tank. And so a bulk tank truck driver comes out and he hooks a pump up and he pumps the milk in. So let's suppose that farmer A has clean milk, farmer B has clean milk, and farmer C has clean milk, and the tanker, he hauls this whole truckload of clean milk back to Mid-America Dairies. He then offloads it into a great big, bigger tank where other trucks have come in and offloaded theirs. And so the clean milk that came out of tank truck A is mixed with all the other milk, and some of that other milk, 30% of it, is dirty milk that comes from these tainted cows. And it all goes into the same big tank, and it's all mixed up. So there's nothing clean in the dairy industry. And then on top of that, they feed them bypass protein to boost the protein content. And then by keeping these cows, you know, to a young age, they don't show up, you know, as often with mad cow disease. And in this country, see, we have mad cow disease, but we don't call it that. We call it Downer cow syndrome. So when you're told that there's no mad cow disease in the United States, they're not lying to you. There isn't any. We don't call it that here. That's for you Englishmen. Englishmen and Canadians, they call it mad cow disease. And when it shows up here, we blame it on the Canadians for shipping them down here from Alberta. Now, we've got our own strain. It's called Downer cow syndrome. We have 100,000 cows a year that die from it. And what do you do with the 100,000 cows a year? You grind them up and feed it to the pigs. Just thought I'd share that one with you. I knew you'd love it. So all you pig eaters out there, get to eat the mad cow disease through your pig. Through your pure Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. Now, there's another little part of the problem over here. It's keep the public in the dark. And these foods containing GMOs don't require any special labeling. So nobody's putting a mark on your food. Now, when you go to the, you know, when you go to the health food store, you know, you get a label over here that says no GMOs, organic, see? Or something on that order. Now, the reason that they like to market that way is for people like me. People that don't care shop at Walmart. And Jesus said, you know, the poor you have with you always, and their only concern in life is where can I get the cheapest stuff? They don't care what's in it. They believe in and they rely, probably in good faith, upon the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the World Health Organization, and others like that with the United Nations and the U.S. government and so on. They believe that they're telling the truth. Now, these institutions, these these government agencies, they lie all the time. In fact, they lie to you when the truth would serve their purpose better in many cases. But nevertheless, they lie a lot. And I'm not here to convince you that I'm right and that you ought to stop shopping at Walmart. I don't care where you shop, and I don't care what you eat, and I don't care whether you live or die. No skin off my back one way or the other. But as a reporter, you know, I like to report on things that are controversial, things that aren't picked up in the mainstream press. I mean, you know, if I was reporting what Katie Couric is telling you on the 6 o'clock news, hell, you wouldn't need to listen to this program. You could get it, you know, in spades from Katie and Brian. But I just thought I'd share with you some information that Katie, Brian, and Charlie aren't telling you. Maybe even Oprah doesn't know this. I don't know. But we need to keep the public in the dark. And so, without fail, the majority of people I speak to about GM foods are against them once they understand what's being done. So why are there no current labeling laws requiring food companies to specify on their packaging that some or all of the ingredients are genetically modified or genetically engineered? Now, this is one of the greatest deceptions ever perpetrated against the American people. It would be one thing if they had a choice and our foods clearly stated that they contain GMOs. But this isn't the case. There appears to be a concerted effort to hide the extent of the proliferation of genetic engineering in the food supply from the American people. Some investigators even go so far as to call it a conspiracy. So, be that as it may, I don't know about whether it's a conspiracy or not. When was the last time you saw a report on TV that went into detail about the whole genetic engineering issue and then described what GMOs really are? Did you get that from Katie Couric or Brian Williams or Charlie Gibson or any PBS? Have you seen any exposés on Frontline? So the truth of the matter is that there has been a virtual media blackout on how much genetic engineering impacts our food supply. So to put it mildly, Americans are asleep at the wheel on this issue, and very few people are trying to wake them up. Now, I pointed out to you, I'm going to pause right here, I pointed out to you Matthew 24:22, you know, that this genie is out of the jar. It's like the nuclear genie. It's out. You're not going to put the nuclear genie back in. And now that the GMO genie is out of the jar, you're not going to put it back in. You're going to have experiments on human beings and splicing human genes and cow genes and pig genes and so on down the line. I don't know how far this can go. I don't know if this is as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah or maybe worse. The Messiah said there would no flesh be saved alive unless he returned and put an end to it. I suspect it's going to get pretty damn serious at some point in time. Well, I'm about out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there, so we'll pick it up right here next time on the Law or an Editorial Review, talking about this thing of food apocalypse and GMOs next time on the Law or an Editorial Review. Now, you're listening to the Law or an Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. And remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.